Welcome again to our Home at Home service. It's so good to have you join us, and for those who are regularly with us, it's wonderful fellowship time to be sharing with each other. We've been talking recently about our deliverance and what that means, and we, in our previous message, talked about the school of deliverance, or a deliverance school, and what that would look like. And we were using the story of Gideon, and really it's like God training and developing him to understand that God himself is a deliverer, and that he expects that when he empowers us, that we also become deliverers too. And so we talked about Gideon, Judges 6, and how he began to engage this process, and what does require for us to actually have a school of deliverance and to make it relevant. And we said it started off with people in need of deliverance and bondage and domination, slavery, being under subjection, all of these kinds of offensive and controlling aspects that existed. And so this is what was happening amongst the children of Israel. And Gideon, he's the key character in this particular story, is at the heart of this. And so we see how the Israelites are being oppressed, and they're crying out to God, saying, look, God, you know, don't you care what's happening about us and or to us? And so it is at this point that we engage Gideon. And it means that we had to face a truth in order to address what was going on. And so the truth is we're under attack. The truth is that we're being oppressed. The truth is that we are struggling and are not able to do the things we want to do because we are under a form of oppression. And so we're seeing here that the people, as I said, cried out, and God then sends them a blessing as an angel of the Lord. And so what happens is we see the context for deliverance is the oppression that's happening. We then understand that they have to face the truth. And part of what we have to understand is that when we realize we're lacking something, we have to be honest in saying we're in need of this. And if you are in need of the school of deliverance, then this is the perfect place to be. We're establishing the parameters, the context, and how this works. And what it means here is that those who are in slavery are to be set free. And God established that and explained that again to the children of Israel, that I've taken you so many times out of this place and you don't seem to be learning. And I want to now take this example to re-educate you in the process. And so we encounter the angel, who is now the expression of power. So in order for a school of deliverance to work, there has to be a superpower, something that gives the school the context to understand that we now have access to power. And that's what God does when he comes into our lives. Straight away, he's telling us that he's the almighty, omnipotent God. And immediately when we engage our belief in him, we become what we know as being born again through accepting the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. We then, by faith, believe that he died for our sins. We now have freedom when we surrender to him from sin and can now operate under the power of the Holy Spirit as a deliverer through Christ working in us. And this is what happens. The angel of the Lord is the expression and the evidence of the power. We now have the Holy Spirit as the representation of the power of God. We still have angels that are working on our behalf, but we know that Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit are in us, and that all power was given unto Jesus in heaven and in earth. Here at this point, it was the angel of the Lord, and Gideon speaks to this individual, not knowing at the time that he was the angel of the Lord, and he gets this understanding of a conversation. And by the time he has finished talking with this angel, he begins to say, well, look, if you're genuinely of God, if you're genuinely representative of God and his power, can you let me do something for you? And Gideon, in fact, goes ahead and he puts together all of these objects in terms of a sacrifice, bread and meat and so on, as an act of worship. And we engage him today as a worshiper. And the principle of him worshiping was that he was already aware that if God is my deliverer, then I need to go ahead and worship right now. Not waiting for the victory to manifest, believing it already that we have the power, we have strength on our side. And I want to encourage you, as we did in our in-person message, that we have God on our side. We're not waiting for the battle to be over. We're shouting ahead of time and giving him praise. And this is what Gideon did. And we encounter him in verse 27 of Judges 6. Gideon then selects 10 men from his servants and did exactly what God had told him. But because of his family and the people in the neighborhood, he was afraid to do it openly. So he did it at night. And we see here that verse 28 says, early in the morning, people in the town were shocked to find that Baal's altar was torn down. So Gideon took 10 men and they tore down the altar of Baal, which was serving and worshiping an incorrect god, a false god, an idol god. And so God said, look, if I'm going to deliver you, you've got to get rid of anything else that's getting in the way. And that was him and the group of people worshiping another god. And often we're looking in the wrong place for our deliverance because friends can't often help us. The things we put our confidence in fail. But when we put it in God, he gives us the essence and the foundation to gain our victory. So sometimes you have to tear down things that you have put and seen as your go-to strength, as the potential for your deliverance. Sometimes it could simply be something that soothes you in that moment of crisis that doesn't solve the problem. And you have to tear those crutches, those things down because they are not working. And some of you need to tell yourself that now. The thing that you've always been doing is just not working. You need to tear it down and stop putting your confidence in that thing, whatever it is, whatever that prop is, or whatever it is that you're relying on. If it's not on God, then it will fail. So here they tear down the idols of Baal, only to find out that early in the morning, verse 28, the people in the town are shocked to find Baal's altars torn down, that Asherah, the Asherah pole beside it is chopped down, and that the prime bull burning away on the altar that had been built. He says all of that basically was now representing for them an offense. Who did this? In verse 29, says they kept asking, who did this? Questions and more questions. And then the answer, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. So they found out that this was Gideon. Now, you know, what was great was Gideon was engaging in the school of deliverance. And the school of deliverance says, you've got to remove all the other props, all the other crutches, because only God has the power and the authority to deliver you. Verse 30 then says, then the men of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son. So this is Gideon's father. They now want to attack the father and son. He says, he must die. Why? He tore down the Baal altar and chopped down the Asherah tree where they would dance and do all kinds of illicit things. And who dared Gideon and these 10 men to tear it down? But verse 31 says, Joash stood up to the crowd, pressing in on him. Sometimes you've got to take a stance. And that's what happens here at the school, deliverance school, is that you've got to make a decision that I'm going to get this. I'm going to accomplish this qualification in God, this qualification of knowing that he is a deliverer and he now through me will conduct a process of delivering others. And so here he's saying they were pressing him, and he's saying that the crowd were pressing in on him. Are you going to fight Baal's battles for him? This is what they're saying. Are you going to do that? Are you going to stand instead? Are you going to save him? Anyone who takes Baal's side will be dead by morning. If Baal is God, in fact, let him fight his own battles and defend his own altar. So what Joash is saying, are you going to fight for Baal's battles for him? You see, our God needs nobody fighting for him. But here, these idols, These gods of no power would require somebody to fight for them. What kind of a God is that? What kind of a crutch is that if you're having to do all the fighting? But when you put your confidence in God, God will fight for you because he's God all by himself. That is the very definition of him being God, that he's omnipotent, which is all powerful. He's omniscient. In other words, he knows all things, omniscience. And then he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. Our God can fight the battles for us. Verse 32, then they said, then the nickname Gideon, they nicknamed Gideon that day, Jerubbaal, because after he had torn down Baal's altar, he said, let Baal fight his own battles. Hallelujah. But I love this. You see, in verse 33, 35, all the Midianites and Amalekites, these are the Easterners, got together. So now this is becoming a battle, a confrontation. They all got together, crossed the river and made camp in the valley of Jezreel. God's spirit came over Gideon. He blew his ram's horn, trumpet, and Abiezrites came out, ready to follow him. He dispatched messengers all through Manasseh, calling them to the battle, also to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they all came. Now, what this means is that this next part of the deliverance school is about challenge. So you now are encountering a challenge into which to contextualize your deliverance. I wonder what your challenge is today. I wonder what that battle is that you are fighting today. I wonder if you can let God take the reins right now. As it says here, Gideon got together and these men, he's saying these, all these enemies decided to come out. But God was in charge. And then look at what he does. He has this conversation and begins to ask the question. And I really want us to conclude around this area. Gideon begins to realize that he now is in a position to learn and understand God's process. So he begins to engage and ask the questions. Gideon says to God, if this is right, if you are asking me to save Israel as you've said, then look. This is what I'm going to do. God, I'm going to have a conversation with you because I want to build faith in you. I want to be able to trust what you're doing. So I'm going to go on a journey of getting to know who you are. I wonder if maybe you need to take this time to say, God, I'm going to get to know who you are. I'm going to understand that you're a God of peace, a God of strength, a God of joy, a God who overwhelmingly loves me. And begin to understand that God, as your father, is not just somebody for a moment of crisis. He is your friend. He is your foundation on which you stand. That when everything around you is failing, he is able to surround you with strength and grace. That his joy can be your strength. Get to know him. I wonder if I can encourage you that when you hunger and thirst after his righteousness, when you have a desire to seek and to understand and to know him, he shows up exponentially and he begins to give you insight into the extent of his authority and power. And Gideon decides to say, God, okay, look, I need to now know who I'm trusting and I now need to know what's going to happen here. And he says, to save Israel, you've asked me to save Israel. And he said, then look, I'm placing a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If dew is on the fleece only, but the floor is dry, then I know that you will use me to save Israel as you said. So he's giving God a little test. And he's saying, God, okay, if you genuinely can do this, I just need to see the simple example of you now getting this fleece, you know, to be wet, but all around it is as dry, then I will know it's you. So that's what happened. So God did that. When he got up early in the morning, he wrung out the fleece, enough dew to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, don't be impatient with me. So Gideon gets God to demonstrate that he can make a fleece wet when everything around it is dry. So it's telling us, what is it telling us? That God is specific. God knows exactly how to deal with a target. God knows exactly how to address a specific decision, a specific challenge. Then Gideon said to God, "Don't be impatient with me, but let me say one more thing. I want to try another time with the fleece, but this time let the fleece stay dry while the dew drenches the ground." And verse 40 says, God made it happen that very night. Only the fleece was dry while the ground was wet with dew. Can I just tell you that there is no specific target that God cannot reach, that God cannot hit? You know, I watched the archery process and how amazing they are at taking this bow and this arrow and shooting exactly, specifically into a target. Or how a marksman with a gun is able to hit straight on its target. What makes you think God, who has all power, all knowledge, all wisdom and authority, is not able to deal exactly with that crisis that you are going through? Our God is all powerful, all knowing, and he shows to Gideon that, Gideon, if you want the fleece to be dry and the ground wet, I can do exactly that. And that's what God did. Because our God can do all things. But when you don't believe that, you can struggle to put confidence in him. But can I tell you that time and time again, I've seen God come through. When all things seem impossible, he makes a way. That when your back is against the wall and it seems and looks like everything is all over, God makes a way because he is our deliverer. And I love this, that Gideon is able to ask God questions. God's not scared of the questions you ask. He wants to encourage you that if you put your confidence and trust in him, that with him all things are possible and that he is fighting for you. I wonder what question it is that you have. I wonder what it is that's troubling you, that's challenging you. I wonder if you can take this time to put your confidence in a God who understands and knows all things. I want just to really take a moment here. Because sometimes we can try and rush this process. But I want you to begin to talk with God. Begin just to sit in a room and say, God, just be present here. I remember having a call from one of my brothers who you know, was going through a very difficult time and was struggling with his faith. And I remember when he called me and he said, Garth, you know, something really special happened. I was just in the bathroom, he said, and all of a sudden I knew God came in. He said it was just this overwhelming sense of love, and I thought myself so unworthy, and I was just crying because I realized I felt so loved. I knew he'd shown up. I wonder if you need God to show up for you today. I wonder if you're asking him questions and you're saying, God, I don't know if you can do this. I wonder if you could allow him to fill your heart right now. I wonder if you can allow him to lift the weight off your shoulders and your burdens right now, because he's faithful. And the enemy wants you to hold on to everything that is anxious, everything that's saying, it can't be done, it can't be done. You know, can it really happen? I want to tell you, Gideon is declaring. He was questioning, God, can you do this? Can you do this? And God turned up and saying, yes, I can. God is able to do all things if we trust and believe. And sometimes it might not appear the way we seem or expect it to. But it's always perfect. I want to encourage you today that this has to be our year. A year, we're still in that very first part of the year, a year in which we begin to know a God who can, a God who will, a God who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, but I will be with you even to the end of the age. A God who says, I will walk through the valley of the shadow of death with you. Some of you are going through those challenges right now, having to deal with some very challenging situations, but God is not afraid of challenge. You know why? Because he has established the deliverance school, and challenge is one of the ingredients that gives us the authority and the ability to practice trusting in our God who will help us overcome. So you need a challenge. And that's why our God says, you know, in this world you will have trouble, but fear not, I've already overcome the world. Can I tell you, God has already overcome every single challenge you can think of. Your trouble, your challenge is not too big for our God. Here Gideon was surrounded by a whole fleet of individuals, all vying for their territory, all coming after their lives, all coming after their livelihood. But Gideon understood that in this moment, he'd encountered an all-powerful God. In this moment, he'd met with the King of Kings, and he gave an act of worship to say, I trust you. I wonder if you can trust God right now, knowing that he will come through, he cannot fail. And watch God as you get to know and understand the power of his grace, the fullness of his joy, that he will deliver you. Here, God engaged in this very simple, silly task, and he did what Gideon asked. All Gideon really wanted to know was, God, are you really with me? Can I tell you that that peace, that voice, that word you're hearing is letting you know God saying, I am with you. I wonder if you can tell the person next to you, God is with you. I wonder if you can say that to yourself, God is with me. And know that if you can trust him, that your deliverance is already on the way. May God encourage you today. We're going to continue on this story and this journey with Gideon. And we're going to watch what God does with a man who felt that he was nothing, felt that he was insignificant, and how God can make you great. May God encourage you today. May your worship be an expression of the belief that you know God is going to come through for you. And when the enemy wants you to be quiet, lift your hands and lift your voice and say, our God is an awesome God of deliverance, and that you are coming out of this with your hands up, not being arrested, actually with joy and thanksgiving and with a shout of victory. Because the battle is not yours, it is the Lord. May God bless you. May you finish the study in the School of Deliverance, and also watch God show you how you too can be a deliverer. May God bless you.